Is health on earth.
Salud en la tierra.
Dinyan salve.
It's the heart of the Adam.
Biut faulam.
Pour la santé sur la terre.
Gesund in Belt.
Unang is a guy.
Afianzuri duniani.
Saud para todo mundo.
Ben quiet and died at night.
Prefiri monte shurin e jokon.
Salamat al jahon.
Zavash is derogi.
A pomodoro assassino.
Strovio magia.
La salute supera. Health on Earth.
Welcome to Health on Earth at CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Francois, and I will be your host for tonight. Tonight's show will be about the coronavirus. Earlier this afternoon, Canada's Chief Public Health Officer, Dr. Theresa Tam, gave a press conference to update us, Canadians, about the status of coronavirus in the country. Here's what she had to say, as well as a few questions asked by the public and journalists that were present.
There have been 209,148 cases of COVID-19 in Canada, including 9,862 deaths. Nationally, there are close to 23,500 active cases across the country. And over the past week, labs across Canada have tested an average of almost 75,000 people daily, with 3.1% testing positive. The average case count is now at 2,488 cases being reported daily in the past 7 days. The number of people experiencing severe illness continued to increase. Over the past 7 days, there were on average just over 1,000 individuals with COVID-19 being treated in Canadian hospitals, including over 200 in critical care, and an average of 23 deaths were reported each day. Last week, Dr. Niu and I had the honour of speaking at the opening of the Canadian Public Health Association's annual conference, which was held virtually this year. It was an opportunity to reflect on what we have been through collectively over the last 10 months. But most of all, it was an opportunity to thank Canada's public health workforce for their extraordinary work and their commitment, resolve, resiliency, and ingenuity. It is truly inspiring, and I just want to take a moment to acknowledge their efforts today to all Canadians. Canada's public health community has mobilized and collaborated like never before to stand up and sustain this response. We've all had to adapt and adjust as new information emerge, while at the same time navigating through the sea of uncertainties. And yet, the public health workforce has endured and remains steadfast in the commitment to protect and improve the health and resilience of the populations we all feel privileged to serve. But despite public health efforts, no one sector can solve a pandemic alone. Pandemics are whole-of-society events. That means the impacts extend across society, not only by affecting those who become ill, but also by impacting the health, social, and economic systems that affect our overall well-being. It also means that minimizing the pandemic's impact both today and in the future depends on all of our actions now. The longer pandemic goes on and the less we all do to minimize the related disruptions, the more its impacts will be felt. The public in public health means, as practitioners, we serve the population, but also that the collective actions of the public are a vital part of the power and success of our solutions. We can all do our part by keeping our numbers of in-person close contacts low and committing to proven effective public health practices. Stay home or self-isolate if you have any symptoms, maintaining physical distance, wear a face mask as appropriate, and keep up with hand, cough, and surface hygiene. Go the extra mile by downloading the COVID Alert app to break the cycle of infection to help limit the spread of COVID-19. Thank you. Merci.
Hi, Mr. Prime Minister. Thanks for my question. My question is for the Niskantaga First Nations. They've been on a boil water advisory for the past 25 years. I was wondering if you're going to be able to stick to your 2015 promise of lifting all water advisories by 2021. I think you said March.
Thank you, Jamie. Since 2015, we have worked incredibly hard to lift long-term boil water advisories across the country in Indigenous communities. We've lifted around 95 of them so far. Many of them had been in place for decades. We recognize there's lots more work to do and numbers more that we need to lift off those long-term advisories. Travel restrictions related to COVID have made it more difficult in certain situations, but we continue to work very closely with communities across the country with partners. We continue to invest and flow resources so that we can do this. This is a commitment that Canadians expect of this government and one that we expect of ourselves. We will continue to work extremely hard to lift those long-term boil water advisories as soon as possible.
Following up, Jamie.
Yes, thank you. I'm just wondering if you could confirm or not, are you going to be able to stick to your deadline, or are you going to have to push it back?
As we know, this is a commitment that matters an awful lot to us as a government, but matters even more to Indigenous communities across the country that have gone, in many cases, decades without safe drinking water. We have lifted well over 90 of them so far. Some of them had been in place, indeed, for decades, and we're working extremely quickly to try and resolve all of them. Understandably, COVID-19 and the travel restrictions have come and created challenges in certain communities and certain paths forward, but we continue to be optimistic we're going to be able to lift those remaining boil water advisories soon.
Thank you. Opérateur, prochaine question au téléphone.
Thank you, merci. The next question is from Heather Schofield, Toronto Star, line open.
Good morning, Prime Minister. It's Heather here. I'm wondering, you've expressed concern in the past about a smooth transition of power in the United States, and I'm wondering if last night's debate, which was a bit more traditional in tone, gives you any reason to have a little bit more confidence in the process?
Well, I have always had confidence in Americans' capacity to move forward in a successful way. They've been running elections successfully for a very long time, and we are certainly hopeful that everything will go smoothly, regardless of the outcome in a few weeks. As a government, however, I think Canadians expect for us to prepare for a range of contingencies, and we are. But mostly we are focused on ensuring that regardless of the outcome, regardless of who is president in the coming years, we will be able to continue to stand up for Canadian interests and make sure that Canadians are protected during this COVID-19 pandemic and beyond. Extremely hard. With companies around the world to secure Canadian access to vaccines. We know many different companies in different parts of the world are working really hard to try and find and develop a vaccine for COVID-19. Canada has been able to secure agreements with six different companies around the world and secure access to further companies through the COVAX facility, which ensures vaccines for Canada, because we're also supporting vaccines for the developing world. These are initiatives that make sure that those vaccines arrive for everywhere, particularly vulnerable countries, when they're most needed. Because we can't get out of this until everyone gets out of this. Canada has an excellent portfolio of vaccine potentials, but we also know nobody's got that vaccine yet. There are still trials going on. There are still a number of companies, some closer than others, but we are waiting to ensure that those vaccines are effective and further that they will be safe for Canadians. Nothing will be distributed in Canada until Health Canada is absolutely certain that the safety of Canadians is being properly covered and taken care of. We are hopeful that the vaccines will arrive yesterday, but they won't. There's still a number more months of work to do. I think the reasonable expectations is that vaccines could start to arrive sometime in the new year. But even then, there will be smaller amounts of doses that will have to be distributed to priority populations. I think of our most vulnerable or our frontline workers. And we have experts busy evaluating exactly how and where and in which way to distribute these vaccines. We will, of course, be working closely with provinces and territories to ensure that it's done the right way. We all want to get this COVID-19 crisis behind us as quickly as possible. And that's why we're working on vaccines responsibly, safely, and quickly. But at the same time, Canadians need to know every step of the way, their government will continue to be there for them. We will do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to support Canadians while we get through this crisis.
David Aiken, Global News. Good morning, Prime Minister. It's been exactly 1 month since the Throne speech in which your government made some commitments on long-term care facilities. And I wonder if you could update us on where you are at in introducing new criminal code amendments and where you're at in talking to the provinces about new long-term care facility standards.
We have had 20 First Minister's meetings since the beginning of this pandemic. And in my last one, we had a good discussion around sharing best practices across provinces. We've seen that certain areas are having greater success in controlling the spread of COVID-19 in vulnerable populations, like in long-term care facilities. And I think the first step and one of the advantages of a federation like Canada is we can learn from each other on how to deal with particular challenges. The federal government recognizes provincial jurisdiction in this area, but we also know that protecting Canadians' lives and dignity is all of our business, and we will continue to work with the provinces to make sure that seniors right across the country feel safe where they live and that family members know that their loved ones are being properly protected.
And if I can just come back to the situation with the Nescotanga, specifically the Nescotanga, not other commitments. In December 2015, your government promised that community that it would build a new treatment plant by 2018. That delay got pushed to March 2019. It's now October 2020. They have a water crisis. Now they've got a confidence crisis if the evacuees in Thunder Bay don't believe you that you will get a water built for that community. Can you talk to them and say what's going on?
Reconciliation is something that is extremely important to this country, and it is a process that will involve many steps forward and a few setbacks. It is difficult, as we all know, to end these long-term boil water advisories. Otherwise, other governments would have done it. We've managed to lift 95 of them, have dozens more to go, and we're continuing to work very closely with all communities involved. I can't share with you exactly the details on this particular community, but I can assure you that Minister Miller and others are working extremely closely with that community in order to resolve this crisis that they're facing right now.
Merci. Prochaine question.
Thank you. Next question. Question. To conduct a follow-up to my colleague's question about the rapid testing, I would like to understand when someone in Quebec City or Vancouver, when will they be able to obtain this rapid testing exactly? Are we talking about a matter of days or weeks? And what would you say to the opposition that doesn't understand why it's taking so much time to deploy these tests? Answer. It depends entirely on the strategy implemented by the province in question. We have rapid testing. We have more precise testing. The way that the province chooses to use its resources and offer this testing to its inhabitants depends on their situation and their overall testing strategy. Our responsibility as the federal government, as it has been since the beginning, is to deliver these tests to the provinces to ensure that Health Canada approves tests that are safe for Canadians, that to use them to fight against outbreaks and the second wave and other possible future waves of COVID-19. But as far as the strategy for using these tests goes, we are working with the provinces, and they are the ones who have the make the ultimate decision.
The access to rapid tests will vary across the country depending on the strategy put forward by the province in question. Rapid tests are one element have advantages and also disadvantages and need to be part of a whole strategy on testing, on tracing, on controlling the spread of COVID-19. The federal government's responsibility has been to ensure that these tests get approved and get safe approval and then go to the provinces. We have begun distributing them to provinces, but the provinces will need to determine the best way to use those tests. There are strategies that need to be put in place to balance the needs of certain areas, the various processes available in order to control COVID-19 in the best possible way. And while we work with the provinces and give encouragement and recommendations to the provinces around the best strategies there, ultimately it is the province that will decide how those rapid tests get deployed.
You can go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Prime Minister. Asman Hamidi with the Canadian Press. I want to ask you also about testing. Why should we be confident that this testing plan is as safe for Canadians as quarantining? And why travelers should get priority in testing where there are obviously backlogs in the testing system?
The responsibility of the federal government is to ensure the safety of all Canadians. And I can understand that people would want to have every newfangled solution that they hear about on the internet available to them as quickly as possible. But Health Canada, and I think all Canadians, expect that the work be done to ensure that when we begin to distribute medical services or equipment like tests or eventually vaccines to Canadians, we can be absolutely confident of the safety for Canadians of what we're doing. Yes, we're in a pandemic. Yes, we have to move quickly, but every step of the way, the safety of Canadians will always be paramount. We've moved forward in partnership with provinces on delivering rapid tests, and we'll work with them to develop, as they develop, the strategies for actually rolling out those tests to maximum impact in the community. As we move forward, we're also seeing, for example, a pilot project in Alberta around business travelers and looking at different quarantine times for people arriving, including airport testing. We're interested in seeing the results of this pilot project, but it is only a pilot project. As we move forward into the coming months and perhaps look at loosening some of the border restrictions internationally, we will be able to have data to rely on to make sure that we are first and foremost keeping Canadians safe and controlling the spread of the virus. That will always be our top priority. Nous savons que les gens
Answer in French. We know that people want to have access to all sorts of possible technology and equipment that they see on the internet that might help put an end to this pandemic. But Health Canada and we as a government must ensure that everything we approve, whether they are tests or vaccines, are safe for Canadians. There is nothing more important, and it's a task that we take very seriously. We are happy that we were able to approve rapid tests that are being distributed to the provinces, but we recognize as well that it is up to the provinces to establish the distribution strategies and access to vaccines to draw the maximum benefit from them possible with a restricted number of rapid tests. We will receive more, but we need to maximize their impact from the beginning. At the same time, we will continue to ensure that everything we are doing targets the long term. We just signed a pilot project with Alberta on business travelers being tested immediately and perhaps have a shortened quarantine. It's a very limited project, but it might help us establish further measures at our border when we eventually decide to remove some restrictions. We'll have data that we can base our decisions on to protect the safety of Canadians at all times.
CTV News. Prime Minister, you've been saying since the spring that aid is coming, some kind of aid package is coming for the airline industry. I'm wondering how close you are to that now, to aid specific to the airline industry, not general aid to large business, and whether it's going to have any kind of requirements for servicing underserved routes and also compensating passengers who have invested money in airplane tickets and not being able to use them because of the pandemic. Will that be a requirement of any kind of aid for the airline industry?
The details are still very much under discussion and in reflection. We moved right away, as you pointed out, Glenn, to help all industries across this country. And with the wage subsidy, which the airlines and the airline industry certainly made use of, we delivered well over $1 billion in direct aid to the airlines, because we know that supporting workers through this pandemic is extremely important. There are certain industries that are harder hit than others because of this pandemic. Travel and tourism is certainly one of them. And that's why we continue to discuss on ways forward to ensure that we're going to have a strong airline industry coming back. But my largest preoccupation is always going to be for Canadians themselves, for workers and for people in rural, remote, or even not so rural or remote regions like Atlantic Canada that are seeing significant reductions in airline service, to make sure that they continue to be well served through this pandemic and after this pandemic. This remains a priority that we continue to work on.
Nous avons aidé énormément.
Answer repeated in French. We have supported workers in all industries since the beginning of the pandemic with measures like the wage subsidy. For the airline industry, it was over $1 billion that we gave directly to them to help support workers. We recognize that some industries, such as the aeronautics and airline industry, have been struck particularly hard by this pandemic. So we are in continual discussions with them on other potential aid packages. But my major concern and our concern as a government will always be, first and foremost, on assistance for Canadians, that is, for Canadian workers, and also for Canadians who are concerned that during the pandemic or even after the pandemic, they will not have the same air service that they had before. It's a concern for us to ensure regional service, and we will continue to work towards that goal.
Hi, Prime Minister. Tom Perry with CBC. There's a report out just now that the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations is calling on the head of the RCMP to step down because of her comments about her officer's conduct in Nova Scotia. I'm wondering if you've heard this call from the National Chief, what you think of the RCMP Chief's comments and your response.
The responsibility of the RCMP is to keep Canadians safe. We have seen some challenges in Nova Scotia, not just recently, but over the past many months with the terrible tragedy in how the RCMP has been able to deliver. But at the same time, they continue to serve Canadians day in, day out, right across the country. I've heard concerns from many Canadians about the functioning of our National Police Force. We'll continue to listen to Canadians and work with the Chief in terms of the commissioner, in terms of making sure that we continue to keep Canadians safe.
Answer repeated in French. I know that what happened recently in Nova Scotia and what happened a number of months ago with the terrible tragedy has raised concerns about the RCMP. We will continue to work to ensure that the RCMP is protecting Canadians and properly serving Canadians. This is a work that I'm doing with the commissioner, and we are all doing together to ensure that all Canadians are well served by our National Police Force, which continues to keep Canadians safe each and every day. Thank you very much, Mr. Prime Minister. That's all the time we have today. We will now return to the phone for questions. Next question.
Thank you, merci. Prochaine question, Émilie Bergeron, Agence QMI. À vous.
Question.
Oui, bonjour.
Yes, good afternoon.
Vous êtes,
Perhaps Mr. Duclos could answer this question concerning the investment in Medicago. The Prime Minister mentioned the facility in Quebec City. Can you give us a bit more details on that? How many jobs might be created, for example? Answer. Thank you very much for the question, and I can tell you that the word that comes to mind is pride. We're very happy that the first Canadian company that could develop a vaccine against COVID is in Quebec City, in the Quebec City region. We are also very proud that this investment supports the biomedical sector and life sciences sector in Quebec City. It is a very robust sector that promises a lot of jobs. There are roughly 9,000 jobs in Quebec City alone that contribute to this biomedical and life sciences sector. So this is great news for health of Canadians in the context of COVID-19, that a Canadian company can so innovatively and rapidly contribute to the development of a vaccine against COVID-19. But it's also great news for production, vaccine production capacity for the coming years in Canada. Follow up. Question. Can I add something to this answer? Minister Anand says, answer. Thank you. I would like to say something about procurement and also vaccine production, the last step of the vaccine production chain will be conducted in Canada, like for all agreements on vaccine candidates. We are allowing the developer to determine the production location, but it is a very good news for Quebec and for Canada as well. This investment in Canadian research and also in Canadian business. This is the first vaccine candidate which will be produced in Canada, and that is very important for us, for Quebec, and for the entire world. Thank you very much. Follow up, Emily? Question. Yes, on another subject, perhaps Mr. Duclos could also answer this one. Concerning the contract given to STI Professional, was anyone in the government aware that this contract could raise ethical questions, and were you aware of the link between STI and Melis Medical? Well, listen, answer. Well, I'll give Minister Anand the chance to provide any details on that. I have followed the file. I can assure you that Public Services and Procurement Canada acted appropriately with an open tender, which led to the contribution of four different companies to provide artificial respirators or ventilators in an emergency context, and based on recall what the first wave looked like at the end of March, when we were facing extremely competitive international competition, and there was also, we were also facing the shortage of ventilators. It would be difficult to imagine being in a hospital bed and needing a ventilator and not having one because health services were completely overwhelmed. And that was a real a domestic production problem. I will allow Minister Anand to add further details, but I can tell you that because we followed the correct process, if we had not acted in the way we did, the result might have been terrible. Minister Anand.
So this is all the time we have today. If you want to listen to the full press conference, it is about an hour long and can easily be found on YouTube. Once again, my name was Francois, and you were listening to Health on Earth at CKUT 90.3 FM.
KUT Radio 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Which is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Good evening. The time runabout now on your dial should read 9 p.m. You're listening to Hotel de Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM, broadcasting from a small wee little house nestled on the side of Montreal's Mont Royal and unceded Mohawk territory. To get tonight's program of blues started off, here's Ma Rainey, the queen of the blues herself, playing Booze and Blues.
Last night and full of love.